Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified, and this is not Chuck Price. This is Kevin Stege, CPA with Baker & Coulson CPA firm out in Gresham, Oregon, and Chuck Price has taken the week off. He's been manning the show for some time while I've been away, as he says, in my cave doing taxes, but it's a pretty nice cave. I wouldn't think that's a derogatory term, but I'm running the show, and we may have Carl Jepsen calling in, our resident estate planning attorney. He may or may not be calling in. He'll just see how the winds blow and decide if he graces us with his presence. But if not, that means we have a full show focused on taxes. And I don't have an hour's worth of material to talk about. So you need to call in and ask your tax questions. If you're hearing us right now, most likely we're live on this Saturday morning. Typical drizzly. Boy, on the east side, it was just a downpour going from my front door to my car. In that 2 seconds, it just about soaked me to the bone. So I wasn't expecting that. But anyway, typical Portland day. But we would love to take your calls regarding taxes. If Carl's joining us, we'd love to talk about estate taxes and trusts and legal things. Again, our phone number is 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011, 877-733-1011. It makes the show easy when you call in and I'm basically talking to you as if you called into the office and we're trying to get to the bottom of your tax situation. So if you've had something that came up this last year, maybe you have a question about the new tax law and how it might apply to you. I certainly don't have all the answers on that. But we can get you pointed in the right direction, and maybe we do have the answers. It's kind of interesting. The American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, they're a pretty strong lobby group for us accountants, and they do good work for taxpayers and the accounting profession alike. They sent I think it was about a 17-page letter to the IRS regarding just one aspect of the new tax law changes and how it applies. They wanted clarification on all of the changes to the deductibility of meals and entertainment. There's been a kibosh on that, and probably rightfully so. I think there was some needed changes there, but there's so many situations. What define entertainment, and entertainment's not deductible. Meals may be deductible. And so they gave a whole bunch of scenarios and said, hey, we need guidance from you on what's deductible, what's not deductible for our small businesses, just on that one aspect alone. I know they also sent them a letter, the AICPA, to the IRS regarding the 20% qualified business pass-through deduction, the new deduction for small businesses, and how that applies. So anyway, there's a lot of issues that need to be addressed and cleaned up and guidance given on so we know how to treat those things. So we don't always know the answers, but hopefully they are coming soon and we can actually start doing some tax planning. So anyway, we'd love to take your calls. And I see we do have a call here off the bat, actually a couple. Let's take Greg. He's got a question on traditional IRA to Roth IRA tax questions. Greg, are you there?
I am.
How are you today?
I am great. Hey, here's my question.
Yes.
With the new tax plan that came into place, our federal tax bracket is basically lowered from, I think, 24% to 22% federal tax. And I'm thinking, wow, now would be a great time since it's lower to roll over our traditional IRA monies each year to our Roth and try to save a little bit on taxes now, because I don't think they're going to go any lower when this thing expires in 8 years.
Very true. What do you anticipate your tax bracket, what do you anticipate your income is going to be over the next 8 to 10 years? Are you still working? Are you going to be in a lower bracket down the road?
I don't see it changing, Kevin. I'm a retired Oregon teacher.
Okay.
Under PERS, plus I substitute teach. So I'm still, my wife and I are basically almost making as much as we did when we when we were working. So
I know the exact scenario. You're pretty well locked in with a fairly good pension and probably pulling some Social Security. So you're locked into those tax brackets. Like you say, it's not going to get any lower probably ever.
Unless
the governments fail and you don't get your pensions. But we won't plan on that. I would say it's probably a good time to do some of that. And don't bump yourself up into the next bracket, but that's a pretty big conversion if you were to do that.
Right. No. We've already talked to our CPA about keeping us in the tax bracket that we're currently in. So it's going to be like $20,000 each year for the next 8 years and see where we go from there.
That sounds excellent to me. It really does.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Glad we could help. So we have another call, Henry. Henry has a question on some various things. Henry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am good.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I believe it's who's the radio show that says better than I should be or something like that. So I'll steal his phrase. But anyway, how can we help you?
The first question is our money market savings is owned by our trust. And there are two trustees, my wife and myself. Do we get double the $250,000 FDIC and NCUA coverage or just one?
Very good question. I would say if Carl were with us, he would know the answer, or Chuck. I'm probably the least knowledgeable on that, and I will not even wager a guess. My best guess is you get one, but I'm sure I'm wrong.
Because when you go to a bank or credit union, the tellers, all due respect, they're young and inexperienced, and they really don't know what I'm talking about.
I see what you're saying.
Let me ask you the next question.
Sure.
There is allegedly a form you can request from, let's say, Vanguard or any of the other companies where your RMD, your IRA money may be located.
Mm-hmm.
And the government, of course, gives the percentages, and you can call those companies and you can get the exact amount that's required. And then we've been putting 10% away, having them keep 10%, so that and send that to the government as the tax, and that's worked out fine. My question then is, allegedly there's a form that you can get from the company, that company, or both companies, or whatever, that allows you to have them, per your list and amounts of money, pay the charities directly, and no tax. And I just can't imagine that that's going to be true.
It is true. It's called a qualified charitable distribution, and it's a no-brainer to do for almost everybody that is over 70 and a half and is taking a required minimum distribution from their IRAs if you're charitably inclined. It's the first place to start to make your charitable contributions.
The government's going to give up the tax.
What happens is if you were just to normally take the distribution, you would record that into income and report it, and then you're going to make your charitable contribution, and you would get a deduction. And so the government would basically be giving up the tax there. It would be a wash, so to speak. But in the scenario you described, the qualified charitable distribution, they make the distribution directly to the charity of your choice, and you do not have to report that as income, but you also don't get the charitable deduction. And on the surface, it appears that, well, it's just a wash either way. But the second scenario is much better, because by not bringing it into income, you're not making more of your Social Security taxable, which just about everybody over 70 and a half is receiving Social Security.
At 85%.
Exactly. And then with the new higher standard deduction of, for a couple over 70, it's going to be about $26,000. Some people aren't even going to benefit from the charitable deduction. Unless you're given over $26,000 or you have other itemized deductions over $26,000, that charitable deduction is going to go to waste at the federal level. You'll probably get it at the state level. But anyway, it's a very good thing to do, Henry, and definitely worth looking into, and probably wouldn't hurt just to do it, even if you don't review the situation even further. I don't see much of a drawback from doing that whatsoever.
So you don't get the income. Therefore, you don't have to list it on Schedule A if you give it away, which is understandable.
That's exactly right.
You don't get double.
Exactly right. And it's there's benefits to not having that adjusted gross income higher than it has to be.
Now, you mentioned $26,000. You're talking about the normal $24,000 plus me being over 70 and a half.
That's right.
There's another, what is it, $1,600 or something? I forget the figures.
I forget it, too. That's exactly right. Yep. Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay, so yes, then we're talking 26-ish, correct.
And I think my wife doesn't get the other, one of us does get the full amount, and the other one gets a portion of it, I believe.
Is she over 65 also?
Yes, sir.
So I think you'll both get an age-related addition to your standard deduction.
Okay.
Yeah. If one of you's over 65, then one of you gets it, it'd be like 20, we'll say 25.5 or 25.6. And then if the other is over, now you're talking 26.2 or something like that.
And would be prudent to look at the 2017 Schedule A. And if you're over that amount, then you get some thinking to do.
That's exactly right. And at the federal level, Oregon, you're probably going to be itemizing no matter what. But
I live in Washington.
Good for you.
Forget the state income tax, although I'm sure our legislature would love to put that in.
That's right.
I'm sure they would. Anyway, well, thank you. That helps a lot.
All right. Well, thank you for the
day.
Absolutely. You too, Henry. Thank you for the call, and we'll go to our first break, and we've got a couple callers to come back to. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Hello, my name is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the long-running radio talk show, Investing Simplified. My law practice emphasizes estate planning and probate. My mission statement is practical estate planning for peace of mind. This means that I listen carefully to my clients. I explain the various estate planning techniques and documents in the most understandable terms that I can. I try to make sure that my clients are comfortable with what we are doing together before proceeding, and I discuss my fees up front so the clients don't get any unwanted surprise. Estate planning and probate don't have to be that complicated. My experienced staff and I work closely with our clients to guide them through both of these matters in the simplest and most efficient manner possible. My office is located in the White Office Building at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, right across the street from Mall 205. My telephone number is 971-229-0585, and my website is carljepsonlaw.com.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we will be going to our next caller here, but again, those numbers are 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011, and just focusing on taxes today on Investing Simplified. So let's go to our next caller. We've got somebody on the line regarding Washington estate transfer tax. Roger, are you there?
Yes. Hey, can we talk about Washington State? You know, it's my understanding they have this transfer tax on real estate, and something about a $2 million exclusion, a little more adjusted for inflation. But let's say a scenario of you've got about $6 million worth of real estate, and on the deeds it says husband and wife are the owners. And then because of old age, one of the spouse dies. Does the remaining spouse get hit with this transfer tax even though their name is already on the deed?
Very good question. In general, and I would, on this advice, I would double check. There's very specific legal terms, if you will, regarding whether it's community property or separate property. And if I'm remembering right, Washington is a community property state. So, I don't do a ton of Washington estate taxes, although I just did one last week, and so it is fresh on my mind, some of their specific rules. We do take our time when we do these things. But in general, your question is a surface-level question that I think can be answered. But again, I just want to give you a disclaimer. Look into this closely, especially when we're talking $6 million. The transfer tax on that can be significant. In general, when you have jointly held property, and especially in husband and wife, and the first passes away, at the federal level, there's what they call the marital deduction, and we'll say the husband passes away first, his share of the assets are subject to transfer taxes at the federal level and at the state level that they live in, if there's a estate tax, and in Washington, of course, there is. And when that person dies, his estate is subject to the, we'll say $3 million is subject to Washington taxes. However, depending on how the estate plan is put into place, a trust could be set up with those assets, and it may or may not be subject to Washington taxes. The first $2 million, roughly, it's like you say, it's a little more. The first $2 million, I'll back up and just say there's this unlimited marital deduction when assets just pass directly to the owner on the real estate, and it's a spouse. You're not going to pay estate taxes at that time because of the unlimited marital deduction. They don't tax the surviving spouse when the first one dies, unless there's a tax plan set up that like involves a trust, and more than $2 million is put into this trust. So there's a scenario where some taxes could be paid. There's a scenario where no taxes could be paid, but sometimes that second scenario isn't always the best for the big picture. There's a lot of things to consider between estate taxes and income taxes, stepped up basis, the health of the folks, what the estate plan is. So it's a long answer there, Roger.
Well, yes, and what concerns me is in the state of Washington, there's a lot of farming done by families, and it seems like it degrades the family farm. You know, all of a sudden, you might wind up owing, $500,000, $800,000, $1 million in taxes, mm-hmm. and they can't afford it, and the people lose the farm.
Yes, and there are some provisions, at least I know in Oregon, that help with that. Usually when the first to die, you're okay. But if nothing's done and you have one person that has $6 million and they pass away, there's going to be a large estate tax bill, federal, not federal, we're at $11 million now, but estate tax bill. And there is a provision that lets you, in Oregon, pay that over time at a low, very low interest rate to help keep the farm in the family, but you have some significant planning that needs to be done to make sure you don't lose the farm, I would say, with just a huge tax hit. This is definitely where you want a good estate planning attorney to put some documents in place.
I just thought it was kind of an interesting notion. If your name is on a deed, you don't necessarily own the whole parcel, according to the state. Mm-hmm. You know, if two names are on there, I remember a scenario when, back in the old days, there were four or five names on a deed of real estate in Washington. So I guess that means if one party dies, then the others are subject to the transfer. It's being transferred, but they already own it because their name's on a deed. That's what's confusing to me.
And that's exactly what I was talking about at the beginning. Definitely want to look at how Washington treats it, how it's titled. This is something that Carl really specializes in. I wish he was here to be able to answer this for you. And different states treat it different ways, whether it's separate property or community property. And it's definitely something to look at. Very good question.
Well, thanks very much, and have a super day.
Okay, thanks for calling, Roger.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, let's move on to our next question. We have a caller, Hal, regarding 401k and IRAs. Hal, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. And what is your question?
My question is, if you're not fortunate enough to have a job with a 401k, which you can contribute, I don't know what it is, like $24,000-ish, and you can only use the IRA, then you can only do the $5,000. So why is there such a huge difference? You know, you're kind of punished if you're not fortunate enough. At least that's my perspective or kind of a way I look at it.
Hal, I will send you payment immediately when I'm off the air. You've tied into exactly what I wanted to talk about when I had no more callers. So this is a very good lead-in. In fact, we just had this discussion in our office about a week ago with some of the partners, how arbitrary the tax laws are. And I was looking at a particular situation with a client, and basically we scored a 10 on creating a tax saving scenario that was just wonderful. And somebody else who just didn't have a particular similar situation would have no ability to do this particular tax savings. And it was regarding IRAs and 401ks. Why that is I mean, you've got to go to Washington for that, Hal, and It's a tough thing, and I will highlight some of those differences in my next segment here. I'm going to really dig into regular Roth and 401ks in a way that I think will kind of show how this isn't it's very arbitrary. So,
right,
yeah,
I
think
well, thanks for that.
Absolutely, I think you're seeing it correctly.
Yeah, and then I just figured if the government just doesn't want to give up all that that tax revenue, I guess, but it so seems so unfair, like you were just kind of agreeing, or arbitrary, I guess is a better word, instead of the poor me, it's not fair. Go with arbitrary. All right, well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, Hal. And just to highlight an example is, so you have somebody that wants to do a backdoor Roth, and you have somebody who has been fortunate enough to be employed at a good job. They've had a 401k. They've contributed into it. Their employers matched them. They're sitting pretty good, and they don't have an IRA, and they want to do a backdoor Roth. Well, they're in a perfect, and they're making some good money. They can't do a direct Roth contribution, so they fund their IRA. It's non-deductible, and a few days later, they convert it over into their Roth. Well, now they have $5,500 or $6,500 into their Roth, just like they wanted. But you take a similar person who has not had a great job or has not been able to have a 401k at their work. Maybe they work for a very small employer, and they have contributed to their IRA throughout the years. At $6,500, they've basically funded their own retirement. And now they want to try to get into a Roth, and they're making some good money, and they can't make a direct Roth contribution. So they would like to do the same backdoor Roth that example number one just did, and say they're making the exact same money. Example number two can't make that contribution in such a preferred way, because they'll do the non-deductible IRA contribution, and they want to convert it. And they have to look at all of their other IRA value that does not have basis. And when they make the conversion, most of that conversion is going to be taxable. And here it's almost an exact scenario. So very, very arbitrary in some of these things. So that's just one example. It looks like we are going to go to a quick break, and then we have another caller online, and we will take him after our break. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Navigating through today's financial investment world can seem pretty scary. Now, here's the good news. Chuck Price, president of Price Financial Group Wealth Management, introduces a new revolutionary concept that will change how you invest now and in the future. It's called Asset Lock. Asset Lock monitors your investment accounts 24/7, 365, and alerts you when action needs to be taken. And now, Chuck Price offers Asset Lock. At Price Financial Group Wealth Management, we believe all our clients deserve to have Asset Lock monitoring their accounts. So call Chuck today or online at pfgwm.com and learn how you can get Asset Lock on your accounts today for free. Price Financial Group Wealth Management, because the smart investor knows what you don't know can hurt you.
Simplify.
Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. And again, this is the show where there was a catastrophic failure at the deepest planning levels to somehow let an accountant have the run of things here all by himself. But hey, we're making it through. Some great callers, good questions. But we have a caller on the line. We've chatted with him a couple times over the last couple weeks, and I haven't had the privilege of chatting with Bruce, but as a special guest of Chuck's, he's been on talking about his run for Multnomah County Commissioner. And Bruce, are you on the line?
Kevin, I'm right here for you. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Ah, well, very good. It's good to finally meet the voice behind the run for county commissioner. And how is everything going for you?
Kevin is just doing great. Again, this is Bruce Broussard, District Number 2 in North Northeast Portland. We really need someone at that, in that seat. It's doing great. You know, as I was saying to the person who picked up the phone, I indicated to him I was dealing with the Wapato situation because it's an issue with the homeless all over the place. But we were fortunate to have all of the business leaders, a number of the business leaders here in the city of Portland that have gotten together to solve the problem. In fact, Gordon the Snitzer now has picked up the property, and he's basically gotten together with Homer Williams, and boy, it's going to be something that's going to probably be duplicated around this country because these guys are taking on the responsibility. They're here local and they're committed to doing something with the homeless, taking them all off the street and vetting them in this facility called Wapato, and then directing them to the various facilities. And it's not a jail. In all due respect, this is not a jail. In fact, maybe Multnomah County might lease some of those beds over there, if you will, for overflow, because a lot of times in the summer we get overflow because of the demonstration and this, that, and the other. And a lot of times what they end up doing, releasing some folks that have already committed a crime. But this way, they'll lease something of the Wapato's beds, and then they will be able to keep those folks in and at the same time be able to deal with those folks who are basically are in a homeless situation and whatever. But the other thing I want to make a point on is that you guys are doing a good job. You know, baby boomers are huge. Their investments, if you will, and their retirements are very, very important to them, and many times they get scammed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I like this show. And you're going to be very this is something that I'm going to be very creative, because if I'm sitting in that seat, I'm going to be representing seniors. I'm a senior citizen myself, and my retirement is very, very important to me. And so the whole idea is that hopefully I can work something out with you guys to bring you guys on board and do something for seniors and give them an overall view of what they should do with their investment. Very, very important to them. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, if they lose those dollars, then all of a sudden they become homeless themselves. And so that's one of the reasons why I really support what you guys are doing, and just keep on doing the work. I mean, it's awesome. You and Chuck are doing a great job. Simplified, old Chuck, you know what I mean, Kent?
Yes.
And the bottom line is that please don't forget the polls. Go out there and vote if you're out in this area. If you know anybody in that area, please give them a call and let them know that Bruce Broussard is the guy for that seat. And I would be the only male, by the way, and these women need a little help. They need a little help. They need a little direction, but I'll work with them. But trust me, I will make sure that the seniors are being respected and making sure they're guarding their retirements. Thank you very much, Ken.
Well, very good, Bruce. Really appreciate those good words. Good to hear from you on that. And since you were on the radio, I kind of jumped into some articles and read a little bit about that Wapato jail and
yes. And
all that was going on behind that. And so it sounds like from you, maybe an update that you just gave us here, that there is some positive movement on using that facility in an appropriate manner for taxpayers. Is that correct?
Very much so. And by the way, I got to do a shout out to Lars Larson. Boy, I tell you, Lars is right on point. I mean, Lars spent some time on his show yesterday about this piece, and he's been spending time on this whole piece about solving it. And I give him responsibility, A1, top of the list, on getting these guys motivated to come to the table, if you will, to solve a major problem here within our area. I'm talking about Vancouver, Washington, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge problem. But my point is that it's going to happen, and I want to make sure that Lars and you guys get a shout-out, because had it not been for guys like yourselves and Lars, I mean, we'd be having a problem. So now as we go further into this thing, Lars is right there saying, hey, I'm going to stay on top of this thing, and the old gunny, Bruce Broussard, Marine type, is going to be on top of it, too, to make sure the guys do the job right.
Well, very good, Bruce. Really appreciate your call in, and I can tell you you'll have my vote, and that election is coming up here pretty shortly. Is that right?
Very much so. In fact, everybody's got their ballot. The ballots have been mailed out right now, and it's a very critical race. Like I said, I'm the only male that's running for this one vacant seat, and I would be the only male on the commission once elected, if you will. And so we, you know, in all due respect, you know, we had the Bill Cosby thing that's just come out, and that's pretty heavy, you know, and a lot of the, in all due respect, a lot of folks are very concerned about the divide between men and women. But, you know, just on a little side note, I know this is a serious issue aspect of it, but on the other side of it, you know, we going on with the Me Too kind of a situation. Well, nowadays, we got to get the guys back on board. I call it now, I'm part of the He Too kind of situation.
I see.
So we got Me Too and He Too, okay?
I see. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Bruce, and best of luck on that. We look forward to seeing the results, and hopefully we're talking to, on our next show, Bruce Broussard, Multnomah County Commissioner.
Thank you very much, and again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with the public. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Bruce. Thank you for calling.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Well, very good. We're going to move right along to our next caller. We've got a caller, Ray, has some questions on rental property and depreciation. Ray, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Hey, I've got a rental property I've had for like 20 years, and I was considering selling it or doing a 1035 exchange. And I, on the selling it part, if I just outright sell it, the... it has like $50,000 of depreciation that I think I have to recapture, and then also the property itself has gone up in value, so there's going to be, I think that's capital appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how does that get taxed? I'm in the 15%, well, I guess it's 12% this year bracket.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So basically, how much gain are you talking about? You purchased the house. You took $50,000 of depreciation, and then you're going to sell it. What did you purchase it for?
I think it was like $125,000.
Okay, so we'll say we have $75,000 a basis. And what are you going to sell it for?
For $200,000.
Oh wow. Okay, so I'm sorry. Did you say $300,000 or $200,000?
$200,000.
Okay. So we've got $125,000 of gain. So $50,000 of that gain is going to get taxed as depreciation recapture, subject to a maximum rate. You'll probably still be in the 15% bracket. I don't know your other income and how that will affect, but it, for the most part, it sounds like all of your gain could get taxed at the 15% level plus 9% Oregon. I'm assuming it's in Oregon. Okay.
Is that the end of the answer?
Yes.
Okay, then my second question is if I do a 1035 exchange, does that all get wiped out?
You mean a 1031 tax-free exchange into another investment or rental property?
Yeah.
Okay, 1031 exchange. Basically, in that, if you were to get into another property, and just to make it easy, there's other scenarios, but we'll say you get into another property over $200,000, then correct. You are deferring all of that gain into your new property, and basically you're kind of moving the basis from your old property into your new property, and that $125,000 of gain will not be recognized when you do the 1031 if it's properly executed.
If it's properly executed. So I guess that would be my next question. Can you purchase a property prior to selling a property, or does the order matter, or how?
Yes, you can. The order doesn't matter so much. They have an exception. Yes, you can purchase the property beforehand, before you sell the other one, but you want to make sure before you do any transaction on either selling the old one or purchasing the new one that you have a qualified intermediary establishing that and doing the work for you. It has to go through them. You don't want to be touching the properties personally. And that's what I mean, properly executed. They know all of the details about when you have to identify and close the sale and what have you. It's very specific. It's not difficult, but it's very specific. And if you fail it, then the 1031 fails, and then you have to recognize the gain, and that hurts.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Excellent. And I highly recommend it if it's something that you're looking to stay in the rental business. No sense in giving up a bunch of your equity and capital and purchasing power to taxes when you can just move that into a new property. And it doesn't necessarily have to, you can exclude the whole gain if your new property is over $200,000. You can do a partial. Say you found a smaller property. I don't know what's under $200,000 anymore, but
yeah.
You can just recognize some of the gain if you do a part, if you buy down, so to speak. So there's a lot of options, and a good qualified intermediary should be able to answer all your questions on that and structure, and it shouldn't be too expensive. Usually starting at about $500 more, depending on how complicated it is and how many properties. You can even do multiple properties if you want. So,
and how do you find the intermediary person?
I highly recommend a guy that doesn't, his company still does it. I don't know how much he does it anymore, but I learned 1031s from him on about 15 years ago at one class. He was so good.
Yeah.
And I just recommend him as often as I can. His name is Don Ledroot. He's here in Portland at Asset Preservation Incorporated. Him and his team have just done really good things, but there's a lot of intermediaries if you just stick with mainline companies. Whoever's if you're working with a realtor, they should have contacts also. There's a lot out there.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Ray. Thank you for that. That very good call. And I'll just, before we go to our break, I will talk about one small news item dovetailing in with Bruce Broussard's comments about protecting elderly financial assets. I see the IRS announced here recently there's a new twist to a scam out there, a telephone scam by fraudsters. Fraudsters is too nice of a name. It's basically criminals, so we should call them for what they are. Basically what they're doing is they will call, the old scam basically goes, they call people up and demand payment and say they're going to come and arrest you if you don't immediately make payment via an iTunes card of $2,000. But what they're doing now is they're messing with the caller ID and making it appear that it's coming directly from the IRS tax assistance centers. And they will tell you to go to irs.gov and look at the local tax assistance center number and then call you back and say, yep, it's us, and you verified it, now make payment. I guess the lesson to learn here is caller ID is not proof of identity. So just because your caller ID says it, they can spoof anything they want. It's whatever they put into their system is what comes up as the caller ID, and they can make it look like local law enforcement, immigration, what have you. So don't rely on caller ID as proof of identity. And if you haven't gotten mail correspondence from the IRS, and have been working with them, you're not going to get a phone call like that. So that is the word for today. We'll take our last break, and we'll be back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.
Are you concerned about your retirement income? Do you really understand how your Social Security benefits work? Price Financial Group Wealth Management has helped many seniors in Oregon and Washington maximize their Social Security benefits at retirement through using their Social Security seminar on demand. Now you can watch this valuable information in the comfort of your home by just going to www.pfgwm.com. and click on the free Social Security kit. If you are serious about your retirement planning, you cannot afford to miss this opportunity. After all, you have invested your hard-earned dollars into Social Security all your working years. So shouldn't you get the maximum return you can get from those dollars? The future can be scary, and without a plan, it can be even scarier, especially when facing the unknown. What you don't know can hurt you. Get your free Social Security kit at pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Coulson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
All right, we are back with our last segment with Investing Simplified. We do have time for a call or two, possibly. I will talk about the topic of IRAs and 401ks as promised, but if you have a quick question, 503-417-9595 and 877-733-1011. And I hear that all the time. Just a quick question. You know, you get an email or a call. Hey, just a quick question, and they want to know the details about an obscure tax section. During the summer, that's okay, but during tax season, that's not such a quick question. But anyway, that's my soapbox vent for the day. So we are going to talk very briefly about IRAs, 401ks, step by step, and we're just going to knock these off one after the other. So the first thing is should you contribute a 401k, a regular IRA, or a Roth IRA? The things to consider are you going to be in a lower tax bracket when you anticipate pulling this income out of the IRA and recognizing it into income? That's first thing to consider. Second, are you going to benefit from the compounding instead of paying taxes and making a Roth contribution? Should you have get the tax deduction, basically save your principal and be able to compound over a long period of time? That's pretty significant. Third is, does your employer have a 401k match? Definitely take advantage of that. That's going to be our first place to start, is if you're inclined to contribute to retirement, your employer's 401k and their match is probably almost assuredly the first place to start. So consider that. You can contribute if you don't have a 401k at work. You can contribute to a Roth or a regular. You have until April 15th each year to do that. And if you extend, it does not matter. You have April 15th. That's the deadline, even if you extend your taxes. So you do have that until the following year to do it for the prior year, but that is the hard deadline. Very simple to do, to set up an online account. Give yourself a day or two. You can even link your bank account to it. You can make your regular contribution in within 30 seconds. I've seen somebody convert it over to a Roth IRA, you know, let it sit a day, and then hop back online in 30 seconds, filling out a little information. They convert it right over into their Roth. So it's very simple anymore to do that. Don't let the paperwork and details scare you away. If you are, maybe you've seen on your W-2 in box 13. Yeah, I know you're picturing your box 13 of your W-2 right now, but there's some check boxes, and one of them says retirement plan. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means you are covered by a retirement plan at work. And if that box is checked, that means the income limitations kick in on you for making contributions to your regular and Roth, and you have to consider those income limitations. If that box isn't checked and you're not covered at work, then they take the caps off and pretty well let you make those contributions. Roth, should you make a Roth contribution? Some of the things to consider are what tax bracket you're in. If you're younger and in a low tax bracket, most likely that's a great place to start, because you're going to be in higher tax brackets later earning more, and that's when you want your regular IRA deduction against higher income. And so that's typically a first place to start. I'm going to put this one on hold real quick, and we will come back to it. But we have a caller. Rob has a question regarding RMDs. Rob, are you there?
Yes, just a quick question. I was wondering, does a Roth conversion qualify as an RMD?
In other words, going from a regular to a Roth.
Correct.
Good question. If I were at my office, I would take 10 seconds and look through my handy book and let you know. Somehow, it's not striking me off the top of my head. I don't believe that it does, but I could be wrong on that. Boy, oh boy. Very, very good question, an important question too. And it's the answer is escaping me right now. I would recommend giving our office a quick call and having one of our CPAs look that up for you and let you know.
Well, I'll do that for sure. I have to start this year, so.
Okay. Our phone number is 503-666-5569. And you could talk with Paul Davis, one of our new CPAs there, a great guy. And he should be able to look that up and get back to you and let you know.
Okay. Sounds great. And by the way, I'm glad we don't have nutritional this week.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Nothing like you can't eat healthy every week, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you, Rob. Good call. And if it comes to me while I'm chatting here, I'll let you know positively on the air. But a very good question, and that is whether a regular to Roth conversion counts as your RMD. I know there's a bunch of CPAs out there. If you're listening, they're like, of course it does or doesn't. But, you know, hey, I'm the one behind the microphone. I got things on my mind. So anyway, it's not coming up. So, okay. So moving on, should you do the Roth? Some of the benefits are lifetime tax-free compounding. That's a good thing. No required minimum distributions when you hit age 70 and a half. That's a great thing. All your withdrawals are tax-free when you do start taking out of your Roth, and you can always get your original contribution out, even if you're a youngster. You put $5,500 in, and you decide you need that, hopefully for some smart purpose, and you want it back out, you can always take your original back out anytime. No tax consequences. So if you have that traditional IRA box checked, retirement plan box checked on your W-2 and the income limits kick in, and as a married couple, if you have over $186,000, you're not going to be able to make a full Roth contribution. But say you want to, now the backdoor Roth comes into play, and that's where you make and we talked about this earlier with a caller, that's where you make a contribution to your traditional IRA. It's not deductible because of your income limits. So now you have basis in this IRA, and when you convert that over to a Roth, it's non-taxable. And so that's a great thing, and that's a way for folks to be able to get more money into their Roth IRA when you can't make a direct contribution. Lastly, and I won't go into the details on this, and it's a very unique set of circumstances, but there is this thing called a mega backdoor Roth. That's right, mega backdoor Roth. And it's kind of popular with the younger generations to talk about, but it's you have to have such a unique set of circumstances to take advantage of it. But this is a Roth on steroids, basically, where you can probably put up to about $36,000 into your Roth IRA in a year. I won't go into all the details, but in general, you have to have a 401k plan at your employer's place of employment, and you have to max that out. And that 401k plan, which is $18,000 a year for the youngsters, and your employer's plan has to allow after-tax contributions and in-plan conversions or withdrawals while you're still working there. And you have to have no other traditional IRAs. Now, if that's not arbitrary per our prior phone caller, I don't know what is. But if that situation, if you meet that situation, boy, oh boy, you can pack a lot into a Roth per year if you have excess income. So We'll just leave it at that for now. And I think we're getting close to wrapping up. We're getting close to wrapping up. And if you have any tax questions, feel free to call or email or visit our website at baker-colson.com. We've been out there about 40-some-odd years and provided tax and accounting services for really people all over the nation. Our phone number is 503-666-5569, 503-666-5569, and that's baker-colson.com. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.